May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I know that we're disappointed by our loss to Kansas City last week, but we are excited in general for our Detroit Lions, are we not? Okay, very good. I like football. I played football in middle school and enjoyed an undefeated season with our team my eighth grade year. We beat the Hudson Tigers. That hadn't happened for years and years and years. I wasn't able to play in high school because I had an injury in my freshman year and never got back into it. Got into music and choir and band. But I did play intramural touch football at MSU, and I believe I only missed perhaps one game, one home game, all the years I was at Michigan State. The student section was in the end zone. It was quite fun to be there, quite exciting, sneaking in our own snacks, avoiding those stadium prices, you know. And, of course, there were lots of students watching and making fun of the alumni who showed up in their green and white gear. The students would vow never to let each other be so ridiculous with their Spartan fashions. But having gone since, I didn't bother bringing my Spartan snow cap that looks like a helmet, but now we have them. We have become what we said we wouldn't be. My friends with whom I would often go to games sat in a very nice section, actually not too far from the students, the present-day student section. And you get to recognize the people around you, right? You see them, you recognize them. There was one fan with a voice that would rise above others every time that Michigan State would achieve another first down. He'd stand up and he'd say, "What time is it?" And the proper response is, "It's time to move the chains." And everybody would get to be sort of liturgical almost, you know. He'd say, "What time is it? It's time to move the chains." And I don't know if you Lions fans know this or football fans in general, but this is the first NFL season that they're not going to use the chain gang. I see some of you nodding. You read the stuff, right? There's a new technology. Technology that's going to be used to determine the first downs. It was developed by Sony. It's cutting-edge virtual technology using what is called Hawkeye cameras. So from the booths at the top of the stadium, monitors of the camera feeds will determine whether a team will start another round of downs. Instead of the chain gang going out to measure the distance, the determination is made by the cameras and can be made in about 43 seconds. No running out, that drama of the chain running out and staking the one and pulling out the string tight and seeing if they made it. Did they get that first down? And the news report that I learned about this new Hawkeye technology said that the chain gang will still be on the sidelines as a backup. We're going to have all this technology, but we're still going to have the chain gang there for the backup. They won't be measuring, not running out on the field to make measurements, though. If the last technology cannot make it, if the latest technology, apparently they will go out. And by the way, the chain gang has been around in college football before it was in professional football since 1906. I'm going to miss those guys, huh? The old school method apparently is a backup to the latest technology. And sometimes the old school ways are the best way to measure whether it's on the football field or in the game of life. Finding himself in an argument with some religious referees of his own day, Jesus is asked about the criteria for measuring progress in a person's life. And for his answer, Jesus reaches back to the ancient rule book. Jesus is in this verbal battle and holding his own as he debates with the religious leaders of his day, Pharisees and the Herodians and Sadducees. And up to this point, they've just been bickering about, you know, pretty much subtle interpretations of religious rules, rules such as paying taxes and about who will be married to who after the resurrection. Little things like that. The religious leaders want Jesus to give them a favorable spot on the field of religiosity. But it becomes clear to them that he's playing by a different set of rules. from the sideline of the temple, the scribe, there's a scribe there also, and he hears this argument going on, and he sees that Jesus is holding his own against the religious leaders. So this scribe, perceiving that Jesus is an authority on the issue, on the game, asked Jesus to name the number one rule, which commandment is the first of all, he asked Jesus. And in response, Jesus breaks out the old school measuring sticks, two of them to be precise. Reaching back into Deuteronomy, Jesus spots the first and greatest commandment, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, our Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This text is known as the Shema, and it's recited in every Jewish worship service. They put it in little boxes and put it on their doorposts called mezuzahs, as a reminder every time they go in and out of their home that their Lord, their God, is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Worship for Jesus is everything. The starting point for everything, according to Jesus, is worship. Worship is essential not only because we recognize who God is, but because it sets the agenda for who we are called to be. If we're made in God's image, as the Old School or Old Testament says, we will find our true position and purpose in life only when we learn to love and worship the one who designed us, the one that we're designed to reflect in our own lives. On the football field, players must focus their attention on the snap of the ball, all their minds on running the play correctly, all their strength in blocking and tackling, and all their heart on winning on every play, just so that we can move the chains. The same is true for us if we truly want to make progress in growing in the image of God individually. And then as a team, we are collectively to participate with God in moving toward the world and the ultimate goal line of God's kingdom. And then worshiping God isn't just a head trip or about coming up with more theological gadgets for Sunday morning to put more people in the stands or pews. It's about putting our whole selves passionately in the game. Please don't be offended by this comparison of game to life. I'm praying the analogy will not be lost, even if football is not your thing. But why isn't it? I mean, you know, we have the Detroit Lions. And our Detroit teams are really Michigan's teams. First downs, first priority, first movement is always focused on worship, which not only defines God, but it defines us as well. The scribe asked only about the first commandment. Let's call it the first marker on the chain gang of where the football is placed on that first down. It is the marker of worship, as I've already said. The first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and your strength." It's not originally from Jesus because he went old school, remember? As I already said, from the Shema, from Deuteronomy, we are to love our God, to be in relationship with God, to reflect God, to worship God. Jesus added the other end of the chain, though, even though he wasn't asked about it. He added the other end of the chain and stick marker as a line to gain that helps us move humanity forward in God's kingdom. Once again, Jesus went old school. He quotes Leviticus this time, verse 18 out of chapter 19, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If we begin at first down with worship, loving God with our whole selves, and we'll also make progress chain link by chain link toward the next stick, which is loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. In the stadium, you know your team is doing well when it consistently moves the chains and drives forward to the end zone. And at the end of the day, the one who gets the most first downs usually is the victor, the winner. If we're following Christ, our success is measured not only by how our love for God transforms us, but by how that love finds its way through us to others, to someone else. Time and again, Jesus coached his disciples by saying that their love for God is to be reflected by the love that they show others, particularly people in need, as Jeanette so eloquently reminded us. Let me remind you quickly of that last parable of Jesus as recorded in Matthew's gospel, how the parable of the sheep and the goats, and how their lives were judged by how they treat the least of these, the marginalized, the forgotten. How do we treat them? How do we demonstrate God's love toward them through our actions and our love? More than that, though, their lives were actually evaluated on how they demonstrate love towards strangers, those they do not know. Neither the goats nor the sheep are aware of who they're helping. And in the end, Jesus says, "You do it unto me as you've done it unto the least of these." Another equally poignant message comes from Luke's gospel, the parable of the Good Samaritan. We have a window, I think it's the last window on this side of our sanctuary, of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan who was in a land where he was despised and yet helped someone different from him and became the hero of showing God's love and grace. Jesus, after he shared this, and the scribe says to Jesus, "You are right, teacher. You've truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other, and to love him with all your heart, with all this understanding, with the strength, and to love one's neighbor as self, this is much more important. This is much more important than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Jesus blessed the scribes and said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." In other words, you're not far from the end zone. You're not far from victory. So, how about you? How about me? How about us? If Jesus were to bring out the change to measure your progress, my progress, our progress toward the kingdom of God, where would we be? First and 10, or many, many yards and a long way to go toward that first down? So I want to challenge you, friends, to think about how we're demonstrating the love of God in our community and in our lives. We gather to celebrate the lives we receive from God, and so we should ask ourselves, can we see each other? Can we see Jesus in each other? When I look at you, can I see Christ working in the world today? More importantly, can the world see Jesus and the love of God when they see our church? How do we represent our church out in the world? You know that some can't see us because they're looking through the perspective of rules of relationships, treating those principles more important than people, rules over relationships and people lesser than our premises. They see the diversity image and rainbow on our electric sign outs front, and they say, "That's not the church for me." While others are drawn to our inclusiveness as a reflection of God's love and mercy for all people. For who? All people. I've received phone calls from people telling me that they don't appreciate our sign. They don't appreciate that we are diverse and inclusive on our sign. One person told me, "I just wish you people would behave yourselves." I hope I didn't laugh too far in the mic, too loudly in the microphone. I wasn't sure what she meant. I'm proud of this church, friends. And I'm proud to be your pastor. That makes it clear who we are. Oh, and I get it from the other side, too. We're not doing enough to be inclusive. We don't support the right policies and political views. I get that from both ends of the political spectrum. I'm not sure who first said it, but I agree with some of the old saying, "I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is try to please everyone." So I'm old enough and wise enough to know that I don't try to please everyone anymore. I know who I try to please first, and I mean that. lost friendships over that. Where I disagree with that statement is I do know the key to success. I do. And it is loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And again, I want you to consider the devotions this week. Take them home with you. Start to build what it means for you to see if you're making progress in your relationship. I truly want you to begin asking yourself about that progress and supporting the ministries of Central Church and the vows of supporting, as again Jeanette said, your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. The basic question is, what time is it? And hopefully the answer is, it's time to move the chains. And that's the word of God for the people of God at Central United Methodist Church, in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.